Well, good morning, everyone. I am so glad to see all of you. My name is Father Ed Bresnahan. I'm the chaplain at Bishop Ireton High School, at least for the next 3 days. And then we're transferring and everybody's going. So I'm going to be moving out to St. Andrews in Clifton. So we're going to be like, well, not really neighbors. Nothing's really close to Clifton. So, but Father Saunders is under the weather a little bit, and Father Shear is away at work camp. So they brought me in as a pinch hitter. And as a Nats fan, I'm much, much, much more appreciative of being a pinch hitter than a pinch reliever. All right, so now I know who the sports fans are. There's one kind of a joke where you laugh and then you're like, oh no, I'm so sorry. So for all the rest of you, the Nats are struggling with their relief pitching. Just, there we go. It's not as much fun when you explain it. But I'm really glad to be here, and what a day, right? Today is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful celebration that we celebrate the Easter season and Christ's redemption. We spend a day celebrating the Pentecost, the feast of the birthday of the church. And then, last week we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity, recognizing the great gift that how God has revealed himself to us. And then today, after talking about how God reveals himself to us, we see the image and celebrate specifically about how God invites us to participate in this work. And it's beautiful because God uses very ordinary things to demonstrate something truly extraordinary about what he is doing with you and I. All through the Old Testament, and really the New Testament as well, God uses tangible things. Christ uses tangible things to help us see, taste, and touch what he is doing and what he is about. And I love it because a lot of times that involves food. And I love food. It's so very good and also so very relevant. We need it. But it's so great because in the Old Testament reading today, we have this image of this guy that we hear of a lot in Scripture. Sometimes in the Scripture, sometimes if the priest uses the first Eucharistic prayer, when you hear all the names, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, right? You hear all those names and you wonder to yourself, you're like, ah, I know Abel. I know that story, Cain and Abel. And then you hear the story of Abraham or you hear Abraham mentioned. And you're like, I remember Abraham from some of my Bible stories. And then you hear this name Melchizedek. And it always perks your ears up, right? You're like, Melchizedek? So that's how you say that, right? It works really well in Scrabble if you don't tell them it's a name. All right, thank you. But what's really important is that Melchizedek is a king of Salem. And this is incredibly important in the Old Testament because nothing is out of place in the Scripture, and Jesus uses very particular imagery, right? He uses very particular items and things when he is about his saving work, because Christ builds off of what the people already know, right? And so what they know is that Melchizedek is this king who offers sacrifice. So there is a king and a priest, kingly action and a priestly action happening. And he is the king of Salem, which if you know from your Hebrew and other kinds of things, because we all know Hebrew, right? But in our Hebrew, we know that the king of Salem would be the king of peace. In fact, Jerusalem comes from the same word, right? The last five letters there, Salem, in Jerusalem, right? It's the same place where Melchizedek is king. So it's this king of peace, right? He's the king of peace, and which makes a whole lot of sense because Melchizedek is this royal figure offering bread and wine, right, as a sacrifice, and he brings peace. And so when Christ offers himself at the Last Supper, right, he offers bread and wine, he brings peace to himself, he is the Prince of Peace, right, the High Priest. But what's amazing is that where Melchizedek is acting as a king and a priest, Christ himself offers himself as the gift. So he's not just a priest. He's also the victim. He's also the lamb of sacrifice. So there's another level for what Christ is doing and what Christ is demonstrating. But he's showing exactly the kind of sacrifice and the kind of offering. So the apostles would have immediately recognized what this gift of bread and wine, not just as a Passover sacrifice, but they would have also remembered that this harkens back to the image of this relationship between Melchizedek and Abram, right? And Abram who becomes Abraham. So Christ is being very intentional, right? He's demonstrating to you and I exactly how we enter into this relationship with Him, how we articulate best what it means to be Catholic. And that's why the Catholic Church says in the Catechism, it refers to the Eucharist as the source and summit of our faith. Everything we do leads us to the mountain of Calvary. Everything we do leads us to the moment when Christ gives us Himself. And how does He do it? At the Last Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. Not this is pretend or this is a symbol or anything. This is my body and this is my blood. And so for you and I, when we approach the altar today, we receive our Lord truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's the most distinctive thing about being Catholic because it's the center of everything that we hope for, everything we look for, and everything that nourishes us in our ministry. Everything that we do from this moment is inspired and transformed by the experience that we have on the altar. It informs everything we do in the very way that we live our life. And so it truly is not just the source, it's not just the summit that we come to right here when we all gather together, but also it's what directs us as we head out. And that's why I love at the end of Mass, which happens very quickly after you receive the Eucharist. After you receive the Eucharist, it's like that's the pinnacle. There's not much left to do. A few announcements and then, go in peace. But I love that because what the priest says is not just, a period at the end of the sentence. It's not just a declarative sentence. It's an imperative. Go and glorify the Lord by your life. Right? That inspired by what we have here, we go and proclaim. And so I love that because that's what our Lord is saying through the words of St. Paul here to the people of Corinth. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes. So here we are, nourished by this bread from heaven, right? Inspired and transformed by the very person of Jesus Christ, and then challenged to go and do something about it, right? Inspired and informed here, we go forth and we bear Christ to the world, which I know sounds, maybe very like, but it's a challenge. It's an encouragement that every moment of your life ought to be about bearing witness. And if you need any additional clues about what's going on here, Christ Himself gives the apostles the bread to distribute to the people. And so there's a priestly action that's happening there, but it's also, on some level, it's also what we do as Christians, that we are, we are given the baskets to distribute to the people, to share, so that all can eat and be satisfied. So let's especially today on this feast, as we celebrate the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, let's remember exactly what it is that draws us here and what informs us in the rest of the world. First, that we are drawn here to the summit of Mount Calvary, that we are drawn here to the image of Christ's sacrifice and nourished by Him here in the Eucharist, where Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then nourished and inspired by Him here, fed by Him here, we are challenged to go out and proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes. May we never cease in proclaiming God's name throughout the world. Amen.